Hi, welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched the show. I'm Mike Durbell, and I've seen none of Mob Psycho.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I've seen none of Mob Psycho.
I'm special guest star Emily Neumann, and I've seen every episode of Mob Psycho 100.
Oh. Should we say it again?
Oh my gosh.
I'm just gonna do the whole thing again. Hi, welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched a show. I'm Mike Durbell, and I've seen none of Mob Psycho 100.
Why did you do the first part again, too?
I don't know.
Say the show. Okay, yeah, that's great. I'm Melanie Germain, and I've seen none of Mob Psycho 100.
I'm special guest star Emily Neumann, and I've seen every episode of Mob Psycho 100.
Wow, that's very impressive. I don't know how many episodes are in Mob Psycho 100, but
25.
Oh, nice. Solid.
A quarter of 100.
Yeah. So, Emily, how are you today?
I'm good. I absolutely was told not to and absolutely did not listen and binged the entire season 1 and 2 in the last 2 days to, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I didn't watch the OVAs.
Okay.
And it's only 25 episodes, so I could handle it. I didn't actively watch all of it, but I haven't had a real weekend off since probably 3 months ago. So I guess this was the best way to use my first weekend.
Oh, wow. You really put the work in. Our guests are really bringing it. Can I say that? Like, I have to do nothing. And the guests are like, I've watched 10 seasons of the show in preparation of this. And I'm like, wow.
See, it's not Supernatural. I was fine. I listened to the Supernatural and Smallbrook as well. And I was like, oh, God, that's so many years.
Yeah. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
It makes me feel just a little bad. Particularly in the Supernatural episode where it's like no one seems to like Supernatural on purpose, like all the way through. They're like, ugh.
It's like beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something you take down, you know?
It's something you take down until eventually you grow to like it, yeah.
It's also like you eventually get those friends and that's the conversation you have, right? Like that's why I used to watch hockey was so I could communicate with my mom. You know, I'd be like, ah, yes, that offside was really exciting. And the fact that Luongo caught it was so exhilarating, mom. I'm so excited for you. And now we've just given up on all pretense on that one. I just go, sports ball. And she goes, ah, it's a puck.
Yeah.
It's a puck. I love that. My mom also watches hockey. But she watches it until her heart starts beating too quickly. And then she listens to it on the radio or something.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, so she self-monitors that.
Yeah, yeah. It's stressful.
Yeah, yeah,
Sports stressful for mom.
My parents aren't super hockey people, but like they still like somewhat follow it. I don't know. I don't think I've ever caught them like watching hockey like on TV before.
They do it in secret. That's why.
I mean, my dad doesn't. I don't. My grandpa used to, my mom's dad, would watch all sports, but particularly hockey. And he'd watch, doesn't matter what age range, doesn't matter what city, doesn't matter what country, really. And he also didn't care if it was a new or rewatch. Like, he would watch the same episode 4 times, the same game 4 times that day. And he'd be like, ah, yes. And he would like, he just sat and watched sports
all day.
And none of us had any way to like communicate because we were like, do you want to talk about art? And he's like, no, but did you see this offside? It's hard.
Yeah.
Love it.
So how's your pandemic been?
It's been fine. I don't know if you guys want to know as much, but I basically lost 18 jobs within the first 2 weeks of the pandemic.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot of jobs to lose.
It's a lot of jobs to balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got a call from every job I had, including every job I was going to have. And they were like, hey, so as you guessed, we've canceled. So that was nice and disappointing. But I stayed on with the city. And they also were like, we ran out of shit for you to do. So we'll give you other stuff to do.
Yeah. Events coordination is what your jam is.
Yeah. So I'm a trained stage manager. I have a degree in theater and I used it to be a giant nerd and do lists for everybody and organize everybody. Am I organized? No, but everyone else is. You're welcome. And so they gave me childcare for 2 months. So I babysat kids. Well, like I was part of the camp for 2 months. And then I moved into horticulture. where I also dug graves. Everyone loves that story. So I absolutely have dug graves. I've weeded every park in Park Coquitlam. I've pulled out like banana trees whose leaves are like their roots are only about 2 inches deep, even though the tree's taller than me. So like really nervous about how they stay up in a windstorm. Planted a bunch of stuff, planted so much my legs stopped working. Massaged it back into use. It was a whole time.
Damn.
And then when they were done with me digging graves, they were like, cool, now you're on sanitation. So I spent a bunch of time looking into people's garbages. People get real mad. Oh, God, they get so mad. I was happier digging graves, honestly, because people would come out of like nowhere. They would watch you walk down the freaking block and then be like, excuse me, are you homeless? What are you doing going through my garbage? And I was like, so you put it on the curb for the city. And I'm a representative of the city. So this is actually my garbage. yeah. And then you'd be like, hi, yep. So please stop putting diapers in the recycle bin. We hate when you do that.
Wow.
yeah. And then eventually, you know, they were like, cool, we're going to do an event now. Actually, you have 9 days to plan an entire Sumo festival that you've never done before and has never been on your plate and you have no lead up time for. So I had 9 days to throw together a 2.5 month long festival.
Oh, wow.
Well, the first month they gave me like 9 days to plan. And then again, they gave me like 3 days to plan. They're like, we're going to do it again. And I was like, it would be cool if you told me last month. yeah, basically it was just like, I showed up and haven't had a weekend since.
Yeah, oh wow. God.
But the summer's done and everyone's like, oh God, I'm so sad this summer. I'm like, bye summer, bye. Because now I get Saturdays. Oh God, Saturdays are nice because I could do laundry. I haven't done laundry and cooked for myself in the same weekend for months. And it's, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's how my pandemic is going.
Wow. So do you prefer grave digging or sanitation or I guess event planning? What is your favorite right now?
I'm not gonna lie, I do not necessarily grave specifically, because you can get corpse juice on you and that's really a time. Yeah, and you can get like quick dry clothes, but there's one, I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but there's one piece of clothing item that I own that isn't quick dry. I think you can guess which one. So you can change almost the entire outfit or like let it all quick dry. But there's one thing that doesn't quite dry. That's the worst day. But I liked horticulture because you could show up at like 7. They would tell you what to do. You would just do it. You could watch the progress. And then you would go home and you wouldn't have to think about work. No one would call you. No one's like, oh my God, the band dropped. No one gives a shit about you. And then the next day you show up, they tell you to go somewhere, mow something. I didn't have to, I slept like a baby. I did find a dildo on my birthday though, that really did make the day funnier. So that's, it has its own perks.
In the garden?
I found a dildo on my birthday and it was a good day.
So that's the perk of horticulture. But I did go to school for theater. It's the shit I like doing. And horticulture is for people who don't have shit garbage bodies. And like, I got a lot of stuff happening here. And so it's nice not to force it to collapse again. I'm good at stage managing, and it's nice to get back to stuff that I'm like good at.
Yeah.
Cool.
Instead of proficient at. Anyways, how's you guys?
We're good.
During the pandemic I lost 2 jobs and then I started a podcast with Mike. Cause that's where the money is, bro.
I had exactly 1 job when the pandemic hit and I still have that same job.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. Hey guys. So real curious. what do you guys know about the show we're about to watch, Mob Psycho 100?
Okay.
I know it's an anime, which Yeah. And you just told me that it was like 25 episodes.
There you go. Well, you asked.
I didn't know anything except it was an anime because on the schedule that I was sent by Mike, it said this date and then anime question mark, question mark, question mark. So that's all I have. I learned the name like right now.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. You're kind of like sort of are thinking between a few different animes, right?
I was. I mean, a lot of the shows that I watch, you guys already have seen, so it kind of really limited that. But I'm a huge nerd, and so I've seen a lot of anime, and that's where I was able to kind of draw from. I like wrote it down, immediately lost all my paperwork that I wrote, but the studio, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you, but the studio that did Mob Psycho did a lot of other really cool things, and I forgot I watched some of those. So it's still like, oh shit, I've seen a lot more than I thought I did. I also have a friend group called the Anime Friend Group, and we just binge shit for like hours and hours.
Very nice.
So, you know, I mean.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
From the title, I can guess that it's about a mob.
Mob or psycho or mob of psychos. Oh, maybe 100 psychos.
Oh, see, I was thinking Italian mob, but now you're right. It could be like a mob of people.
That are psychos. Ooh. Yeah.
That are psychos.
And like 100 sounds like a good number for a mob.
It's a nice number, right?
Yeah.
Didn't even know. See, and in the thing, it says DBB, mob psycho. Didn't even know 100 was part of this either.
Yeah, no, we had to redo the intro.
We did. It was very silly. What could it possibly mean? Maybe it's a mob of 100 people?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. So many things.
Well, that's all we got. Like, I've never heard of this show outside of, like, the moment that Emily mentioned it, so.
That means we're a fresh start.
We're a fresh start.
Yeah, that's perfect. We're a fresh start. Exactly what we want.
Yeah.
All right,
well, we're going to watch the last episode of Mob Psycho 100. If you want to watch along at home, it's available to stream on Crunchyroll in Canada, and we'll be right back. Well, we are back. Melanie, what'd you think?
I was so confused the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening at all. I understood that there was a fight. I still had a good time, though, you know, like yes. I was watching and I was like, oh, that happened. Hey, telekinesis, love it.
I think at one point they seemed to imply that Mob was the name of a person.
Mob was also the name of the McDonald's equivalent, which was very confusing.
Oh, okay.
I didn't ever notice that, actually.
Because I didn't know what Mob was. Actually, during the fight, somebody just said Mob, and I was like, what does that mean?
It's his nickname. I Googled okay. it. It actually, you'll never know this, but the character arc is huge, like, over two seasons. You'll have, what we see is the accumulation of, like, years of character development on this kid.
Right.
But he actually is boring. Like, he is good at fuck all. Like, he can't do math. He's bad at running. Like, they show him in the first episode, like, one of the questions the teacher's like, Mob? And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, it's addition. Do you not know addition? And then, like, he can't catch balls. Like, it shows how bad he is as an individual. He's a great person. He's just talentless.
Right.
So Mob kind of means, I wrote it down, he lacks a sense of presence.
Oh.
So the joke is he's a background character.
Okay.
Of his own life.
I love it.
So the line that he says, I'm a protagonist in my own life, is huge because he's his own background character. Like, he's not even the protagonist in his life.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. That's really great. He actually does remind me of Saitama a lot. Like, just his face shape and, like, how boring he looked. Like, not during the fight because his hair was, like, all wacky and he looked really cool. Look
like a real person.
But And then, but, like, after the fight, I was like, oh, this is his character design normally? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was thinking that as we started. I was like, oh, he looks like a normal kid.
Very confusing. Yeah, no, I love it.
It's the same artist. It's the same artist.
It's the same artist. Okay, yeah. So I'm not surprised because, like, actually, almost everybody's face shape was the shape of One Punch Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn.
Okay, the same artist as One Punch Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Same creator.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like a super oval head.
Yeah.
cool. So, I mean, let's just jump into it, you know, like, okay, let's start with the intro song. I liked the intro song. I thought it was really fun. However, the whole intro did not give me any clues as to what I was about to witness.
That's funny because I was thinking the opposite.
Oh, really? No.
I was like, oh, this is full of spoilers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was just like, oh, it's like, is it a school drama? Wait, now they're fighting. Is it a school drama with fighting? I don't know. Kind of. We'll see. It's good. I saw the mob is high, the mob is happy or something. I don't know. There was a lot of words thrown in there too. Didn't really understand what was going on. And I loved it. And then the episode starts and there is a fight happening.
Yeah. We start mid fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, there's a fight. I love it. They have powers. It is a businessman versus a boy.
Right.
A lot of middle school kids get beaten the shit out of by adults in this series.
Yeah.
One of the characters' fathers, allegedly.
Yes.
And then he's like, you're the same as me. How does it feel to be released from your shackles? And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but he's testing him. I can tell that the man is testing the boy. The boy seems to be like engulfed in whatever, in this power that he's feeling too. So, and then apparently he has a brother because the brother's like, Nissan. And I'm like, oh, that's his brother. And then he looks at him and then he like starts crying. And
so we missed the casual flashback, which gave you no context. But when he looked at his brother, you saw a dead boy on the floor for a second.
Yes.
He wasn't actually dead. It was just a kid who was like bleeding out of his head. So the thing is Mob one time passed out when he and his brother were walking home and they got robbed or whatever. And so them older kids beat him up. He hit his head against the wall, passed out. And when he came to, the people that robbed them were basically probably dead. And his brother was on the floor bleeding. And so he thinks, and it's never confirmed, he thinks when he passes out, he can't control his powers and his powers are extremely dangerous. So one reason he's so bland is he's trying his hardest to suppress his feelings.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
And so he's also learned the power of friendship and shit. So leading into the fight that we didn't fucking see, he basically spends like most of the episode trying to convince this man to be like, hey, maybe let's not fight. Like, I just saw you beat the shit out of your kid. That's not cool. Like,
right.
It's all about bonds and friendship. And we can solve this with words. Like, I don't want to fight. Like, I could be really dangerous. He didn't say that part. But, like, I just don't want to fight you. And then has to fight anyways.
And then he has to fight.
So that's why he's...
Yeah. The only one who could pull that kind of thing off is Naruto with his friendship no jutsu or whatever.
Yeah. You know what? That's fair. I like it because it's cute. It's wholesome.
It is cute and wholesome. I love it. It's really good. Okay. So I had no understanding as to why these people had powers, but they did. And apparently the businessman was the best in the world, super lucky, also wants to take over the world for some reason.
Absolutely.
Yep.
He's like that privileged guy who's like, when you like your parents or whatever tell you you're the best forever.
Yeah.
And so the best is never enough for you. And you're like, well, if I'm the best, I can control. He's also like a moment in middle school, apparently. He tells us about it. We don't actually see it. Where he realizes he's so strong that the world fits in his hand, therefore he should just have it.
Oh.
So now he's like decided since he was a middle schooler that he was going to take over the world. And there's a fucking line. Oh, God, you should see the whole fight. Because before then, there's a line and it's so good. And it's like, he tells Mob like, oh, you're a middle schooler and you haven't grown at all. And Mob's like, no, you're the guy who hasn't grown since middle school because you think that you can take over the world because you deserve it. And that's
right.
Garbage thinking.
That is garbage thinking.
Mm-hmm.
What an idiot. Because, okay, like not to jump to something else for a second. Okay. I think Megamind did it best of like, when you actually have the world, like, what do you do with it? You gotta like manage so much and like, ugh.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. But okay. So that's why he wants the world. That's pretty that's pretty silly. And then, yeah, the boy cries and he's like, I don't want to hurt you, businessman. The fight is really cool.
Yeah, the fight was...
Buildings flying, telekinesis, they're flying.
Lots of explosions and fire.
Lots of explosions.
It's the most violent episode.
Yeah, like my play-by-play that I wrote down for this
Yes, let's hear it, please.
It's like, okay.
Absolutely.
So president used too much power again. The BM is businessman and then SB is schoolboy. So... BM is in full power now. Someone said mob, and I don't know why. SB admits he doesn't have enough power to beat him. BM starts twisting, what the fuck, and then explodes?
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
I didn't get that.
It was mob. So mob was like, I'm done being beat up by you. I can't fight you with words anymore, so I'm just going to fucking beat the shit of you. It's now Uno reverse time. So Uno we saw...
Sure, that's great. That's a little bit.
So he slams Mob down, and you see the hand of like, I fucking murder Mob, and Mob's right. Like, oh, and then the hand that hits is the hand that twists, and it's Mob being like, actually, no, you. And so that's the most violent Mob has ever been to, right? Like, that's scary for us. Like, it's scary for us to see him do this.
It was confusing because Mob, SB, just said, I don't have enough power to beat you, and then looked like he had given up.
He's talking about love.
Oh, he's talking about
love. He's like, I can't change you.
Right.
If I can't,
okay.
It's one of those classic, like, if I can't change you, I'll fucking kill you.
Right. Okay.
And surprise, you know, because Mob is a soft boy.
Right. Because he doesn't actually want to, but he has to.
Because he's tried for like many episodes to swerve on this, but he had to pull the Uno reverse card.
That's so freaking Uno reverse is so funny. Yeah. Okay. So businessman starts twisting, then he explodes, then Mob thinks that he'll die. He actually has an internal thing where he's like, oh my God, maybe I'm going to die.
Yep.
And then he has a flashback. And then because he had the flashback about his friends and love and family and all that kind of stuff, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to die. And then he doesn't. And then after that, the businessman becomes Ghost Rider because his head becomes on fire.
Oh, I choked on that one. That's really funny.
And then they fight more. Then there's punching. They do that thing where they punch each other's hand and then they like break each other's hands. And then more exploding happens. And then the businessman just turns into a zombie and then he explodes more. He now has too much energy and will self-destruct. And then Mob is like, hey, he's gonna blow up, you guys should run.
Absolutely.
And then he goes back and he's like, he goes into a bubble with the explodey guy and is like, I'm gonna contain this explosion because friendship and like I forgive you or something like that.
Okay, I will step in. I was gonna step in earlier, so I forgot what that brain thought was, but
oh sorry.
That's fine. I really loved listening. Like flashback was like, oh, I have things worth living for. It's a constant theme where they actually show what his life would be like if he had no friends. There's like a what is it called? It's that Christmas movie that I always never watch.
Like, It's a Wonderful Life sort
of
thing. Yeah.
They have a version of that where they show him getting like beaten up and has no friends and he becomes a terrible person and he learns that love is what makes him better. Like he is better because of friends.
Right.
Right.
And so he's like, oh, I'm not going to die here. No thanks.
What a beautiful theme. What a beautiful theme for like the entirety of the show. That's great.
The first episode is even wholesome as hell. Like it starts off and you feel like, oh, am I going to have a good time?
Oh my gosh, my heart.
And so he has a flashback, blah, blah, blah. He's fighting the evil man. The evil man also has his own flashback. They also talk about like stress makes you stronger or like emotions make you stronger. So one reason it's Mob 100 is every season there's like a little arc and the arc is him counting up feelings.
Oh.
And so we see him have no feelings, like no feelings.
Yeah.
But it shows him like getting angry or sad. Like grief was a really beautiful one where he like cried while it was beautiful. So that's the 100 kind of joke is that he looks like he has no feelings, like he's a bland face, but he has this whole world going on inside him.
Aww.
Okay.
He should become an actor.
That's stage act. That's like theater. Oh, no, the TV acting when you're like not supposed to show your feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in your eyebrows.
I want you to feel so much grief right now, but keep it all inside.
I tried film acting once as not an actor, and I was like eyebrows all over the place.
That's actually a whole different school of acting is eyebrow acting.
What?
Here we go.
Just for our listeners, Melanie is moving her eyebrows around in a suggestive manner.
Emily's doing it better.
That's all I can do. That's my one talent. Yeah, so then they do the flashback of the... So yeah, so he's like, oh, this guy's going to die. So as he keeps breaking him, every time Mob hits him, he kind of gets stronger because he almost dies. And he's like, I'm now stronger because I've been put to the brink.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's why he was like changing every time. I was like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so he's like, oh shit, things are going to go down. He goes to his friends. He's like, hey, fucking go. And his friends are like, oh yeah, no problem. And it's like, it's a weird medley because there's enemies in there that have become friends.
Right.
Which is a huge part of this too. It's like a bunch of people that we fought before decided like, because Regent, who's his master, the guy in the business suit, with the orange hair, he has no powers. And one time he shows up to a fight and he just punches them and he's like, stop being children. And he beats them that way. Like he just beats them by being like, you're being selfish and rude. Fucking be better. And that's how half his friends are now his friends. Like Regent was just like, grow the fuck up.
Nice. Yeah.
So
I wouldn't necessarily recommend making friends that way, but
no. I would not suggest joining an evil organization where you want to kill everybody that isn't gifted and then having an adult punch you in the wherever and being like, how about no? And then you're like, I'm better. Like, step one, don't join evil organization, I guess.
How about no?
That's an attitude. Anyway, so they go back to the flashback. And now businessman. I love that you call businessman because I don't actually know his name either. Businessman.
They did not give barely any names this entire episode. So I'm doing my best.
I don't even know. So business guy, he goes, realizes that he actually threw away his life by being like slowly becoming garbage. He threw away his wife, his family, the cat, apparently.
I had a whole thing.
Yeah, and
the
so
heart
he realized,
to heart.
Yeah, and so they,
sorry, go ahead.
So this is the fucking like, I'll forgive you moment. It's not Mob forgiving the guy. It's the guy realizing that he wants to be forgiven by his family.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mob's like, oh, you've changed character. I'm not going to let you die. Let's. Basically, like, I would rather us lose together is one of my favorite lines, too, is, like, we can both lose at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of like we can both win. And so that, like, barrier is Mob's power. So his power kind of looks like that. So for us, that is a visual language that has been adapted throughout the show.
Cool. Like, they have the heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful. And then there's the flashback about a lady with a cat. And we figured out later that she's the wife. And then she's like, she literally says, be gentle. And then immediately after is like, why were you so violent? And then she literally says, sayonara. And so that's like very good context. Thank you as to, yes, that was the wife. And now that it kind of means that he was looking for forgiveness of his family. I didn't catch on to that.
Yeah. And at this point is the first point that they say the word psychic powers. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what they have is like their psychic powers.
They did? I missed that.
Yeah. She's like, and then you have psychic powers and then you're just going to do, that's your goal or whatever. You're going to take over the world with psychic powers.
Typing furiously. It looks like I missed it.
So did we talk about, like, where these psychic powers come from?
It's inherent. So they even talk about it at one point where they think you can force a regular person to have them, but it's basically just like being funny or being able to do math good. Some people are just born with the capacity to do it. And the thing is I made a math joke about how my math works. That's fine. But, like, they talk about it in the beginning because for the first while, Mob is the only one that has it. Like, he's the only one who has it. And so he's just living his little life. And he shows his brother, and his brother's like, wow, but also really jealous and also very scared. There's a lot of, weird feelings in that. And slowly we add more and more to the point where it's like too many.
Right.
Because it's just mob. And now it's like this whole faction.
Right.
But then there's this guy who's like the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. The guy who's the best, businessman, he had like a company and they were all, I think they're called Espers. Yes.
ESPers. So they're all ESPs.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, they're called the Claw.
Okay.
Oh, even better.
No, and it turns out at one point they do talk about it where he's like, that experiment we were doing to put stress on the individuals to give them power, it was a lie. One of my secret talents is to borrow power, but also to give it. And so he was just enhancing everyone else with his own power. And then near the end, re-sucked that shit back up. And that's what made him extra, extra strong.
Oh, okay. What a dick.
Yeah. So his company was just him like slowly giving his power out over like 30 years.
Okay. Wow. And then like taking it all back.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting. Actually, a very good, cool concept for a power, though.
Yeah.
To be able to like give it to a whole bunch of people. And then whenever you need it, you can just like, boom, take all of that back.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, like the kombucha or whatever.
What?
Where you just give people the thing and then you get their thing back.
Okay.
Anyways, sorry, I didn't.
All of us were like, no. To do our own mental gymnastics.
I need to know more about what you think kombucha is.
Is it like you give them the mother and they bake you the bread and then you get the sourdough bread back and you're like, yeah, thank you for reciprocity? Or is
just, you know, you make the thing and then you have a thing that you then give to other people to make their kombucha, and then maybe you'll have some of their kombucha after they make it.
Oh, right. Because the exchange of SCOBY is more. I just said it one time. You're going to make fun of me. Wow. Kobe.
So for those who can't see it because it's not a visual medium, the misspoke was Kobe, and then I in the video did like the swoosh, like a sort of hand gesture to like throw a basketball, and then I got made fun of for making fun of.
No, it was fine. That was really funny. Okay. Anyways, the exchange for giving SCOBY out is getting some kombucha.
Yeah, basically.
Eventually.
Yeah, and you just replace that with psychic powers. See, like the metaphor sort of works. I think it was an awful metaphor and I regret making it, but I'm glad
that we went there, though.
That was a good thing to explain.
Yeah.
Okay, they're in the bubble and he's like, I'm going to contain the explosion. And then it explodes anyways. Now, I don't know if that explosion was less than it could have been, but there was still a mushroom cloud, so it was still quite large. And then they, like, are underground or something, and then they find him? They find Mob?
Did you notice that the ground was green and the walls were green?
I did not.
And he goes, this isn't concrete that I'm walking on. It's soft. What is this?
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
We know what that is.
It was dark. Yeah, we know what that is. It comes up later. Okay. So did he serve? Okay, well, I guess we could just say it. There was a giant broccoli that ended up being born after that incident. And I guess he was in the giant broccoli. Is that what saved his life?
It's hard to say. I'm also confused because in the explosion, it looks like everyone fucking eats shit.
Yeah.
But instead, they're healed. So that's one thing that they remark on is like they're all healed.
Oh.
And so like Mob is so healed, he's shiny. Like now he's this shiny boy. He's so and they sort of mention it as an off over the shoulder, but some of the characters have scars on them, and that's what like they're known as, the scars. And they're like, oh yeah, now that my scar's healed, I'll just get a job.
Right. He's like, I'll open a ramen shop.
Yeah, you should not go to the food. Yeah, that's him healing all of them. And so it's kind of, I just assume the explosion was actually like an energy wave that was productive. So it turned broccoli to broccoli, and then it turned his friends into whole beings again.
Okay.
Like he healed everybody.
All right. Cool. I like that. It's like being shot with a healing bullet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. well, they go in and they find Mob, and then they get him out, and they have this whole thing of like, hey, do you want to come to my house? But actually, I don't really want you to come to my house. And then they're like, hey, can we stop at the school? Because I don't...
Their clothes are garbage.
Their clothes are garbage, and they wanted to steal tracksuits?
So Mob is in the Body Improvement Club, so he wanted a spare change of clothes so that they weren't covered in dirt and blood.
Okay. But then they get caught by the captain of the Body Improvement Club, who stops them. And then he makes a phone call, and then the rest of the club arrives, and they're like, we're going through a 3-day, 4-night training. It was a real, it was a little jarring to go from, like, this fight and, like, this serious topic and then this explosion to, like, hey, we're going to go to school now and get treks.
That's like, fair.
Yeah, that whole sequence was very jarring and sudden and really weird. Yeah. Not what I expected at all, but I'm guessing it's probably, like, a better window into what the series is like normally.
I would say yes. I also think, again, that all of it is just... It helps if you've seen everything and you have context, because there's no context to those who don't know what the heck is going on. So for me, I was like, oh, okay. And they kind of make it a secret to even Mob, because like they kind of experience what it's like to be Mob, who just kind of like rewoke in a broccoli, and his friends are like, we're going to go now. And he's like, yeah, let's leave. And then like, your clothes are ugly and covered in garbage, even though you are clean and shiny. He's like, yeah, we should go change our clothes. So they go to school. And the reason it's 3 days, I think, is because... somebody's house was set on fire. Mob's house was set on fire.
Oh, okay.
And it was going to be 3 days before it could get cleaned up.
Right.
And so the Body Improvement Club, and this also threw me, is their friends. They're friends. And he's like, oh, I'll solve the problem of you having nowhere to sleep. You can come to Granny's house. It's enough room. And that's the reason it's 3 nights, is because that's the duration it takes to fix the house.
Right.
And that's me reaching. It's really weird on that one.
Yeah.
So that's, again, because I have the context.
Yes. Right. I mean, like, you're telling me that this show wasn't designed to just watch the last episode and no other episodes and be able to understand it. I am shocked, Madame.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret, too.
Oh, I love secrets.
I think most shows are actually designed to be that way.
What? Yeah. How dare?
Because I think, you know, like, especially if it's on, like, some big network, they're like, we really want to draw people in for the finale, you know? So it's like, even if you don't watch the show, you're going to want to watch the show, you know?
But not for animes.
Not for animes.
Certainly not for animes.
No,
yeah.
Not for anime.
The anime is too cool for that shit, you know? Like, it's like, we know our people. We're sticking to our people.
We know you're here. We know what's going on.
Yeah, we know you're here. We don't need to guess. We don't need to pull anyone in. Tug at a tug, tug. Okay, then there's the...
Yeah.
Your visual cues are amazing.
Yes. Like, I like the fact that you keep on getting visual cues that our listeners can hear. I'm sure that they can guess based on the tuggy tug tug what the visual cue was, but I know.
No, it's not for them, okay? It's just for us, and that's okay. Yeah.
It's relationship building. Yeah, we're following the theme of the show.
Just randomly, we just keep laughing, and then our listeners don't know why. It's because we're having such a good time.
We're having a great time.
I'm trying not to cut them out, but all of my jokes are mostly my face and my hands.
It's working. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we get to, like... everybody talking about what they're going to be doing in the future and like all that. The only thing that really drew like stood out to me was the guy with the scar talking about opening a ramen shop, and then the ESPers.
Sure.
And like how there was that one guy who was researching them, and he's like, I'm only doing it for fun. It wasn't for nefarious purposes, I guess. I don't really know anything about that guy, or like,
it was just a rich dude who the one thing he didn't have was superpowers. And he's like, you know what? I'll fix that by finding kids who have superpowers, and we'll have a little fan club. And it's just a bunch of like, it's basically an after school club for people who have powers. And they just like bend spoons. And he's like, what? If I watch you enough, I'll make myself have some.
Oh.
And then I will have everything, including money, fame, wealth, and powers. And then they're like, hey, we witnessed some destructive power and we don't want to be part of it. And he's like, yeah, but we built friendship over the last while. Let's can we still have friendship? And they're like,
That's super wholesome, because me immediately, I was like researching children for their powers. This must be some really evil dude. But that's great.
He just wants something he doesn't have.
Just an after-school program.
Like a special interest club.
Oh, fantastic. Then it goes to the McDonald's equivalent, where I did see that Mob was the name of like the McDonald's. No,
good for
okay.
You. That's good. Thank you. Good.
I got a little noggin on me. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I actually meant to mention this earlier, and then we moved on from it. But it shows up in this scene again. There's a character that's like a green cloud or something. Do you want to talk about what this green cloud character is?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, for sure.
So he shows up earlier in the fight. Mm-hmm. And then he shows up again at the end here in the office. So he seems to be like maybe a sidekick or something.
He's an early villain.
Okay.
That Mob basically almost kills. Like, we kind of think that he fully gets exercised because there's a bunch of villains we exercise. So he has a whole arc, though, where Dimple uses his powers to turn other people into like hysterical laughter people. And his plan is like, I'm going to become God and have godlike powers and start my own religion. And Mod's like, this is dumb. Don't do this. Because he gets abducted because he's sad because he wants to ask this girl out. So they're like, you look sad, buddy. Come to our church. So they try and convert him. They fail. He fights. He wins. And then Dimple shows up as a little green cloud. And he kind of sees Mob as this like weak-willed kid. And he's like, well, maybe if I manipulate the kid, I can use his powers. But then slowly they become friends because it's the theme of the show. And they become friends. And now his name's Dimple because he was like laughing dimples because he's the smiling villain.
Aww.
And now he has these cute little cheeks. And he's basically like a friend. Like, he saves the day a few times. He learns to be trusted and what it feels like to be trusted and how wholesome that makes him feel. Because Mob a couple times is like, I need you to save my life, basically. And he's like, oh, wow. And Regent's like, you've never been trusted like this before, have you? Like, no. And it's wholesome as heck. And so slowly, and the only reason Regent can see him, because Regent has no powers, is once upon a time, Mob gave Regent powers, and now Regent can see Dimple, but that's all he has.
His power is seeing Dimple.
Yeah, that's what Regent gets now, to be friends with his friend.
Amazing.
Sorry, please continue. But he's an excellent character. He possesses people. His voice, I think, is the best voice acting.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wish he had spoken more then, so I could have seen that.
Seen that with your ears.
Seen that with my ear.
But that's also because he possesses people sometimes, and it's really interesting to have this like deep dude voice in the kid, like who has like, hi, I just want to go to school. And then you go like, I'm gonna beat you. And it's really funny to have that contrast. Yeah. For me, so I don't know. Yeah. If it's the juxtaposition that makes me go ooh, or it's the actual acting.
Yeah.
Where are we? We're at, okay.
Yeah, we're the office.
Sorry. Mike, is there anything else you would like to cover?
Yeah, we learn about the broccoli. We knew about the broccoli, but then we learn the guy realizes that he had broccoli seeds in his pocket.
Yes.
And that's presumably is where the broccoli came from.
It was an earlier villain, yep. And he got paid in vegetables.
Wait. There's a villain in the broccoli?
No. There was a villain killing field things in a farmer. And so for years, the farmer had no crops. And so they went to go fight the thing. And then the farmer had no money, so they paid him in vegetables. And because Regent is the most cheap boy ever, he usually gives like Mob does all the work and he gets like 5 cents and he's like, there's your pay. So he got a bunch of vegetables and he gave Mob like broccoli seeds as pay. And so this is like episodes back, so it's hilarious that they pull that shit out for us because we're like,
what?
We thought that was not important at all, and they're like, haha, end of the show.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
It's so wild. That's so great.
Layered. It's weird and layered.
Okay, and then it also turns out that the businessman was also alive.
Yes.
And he was going to be imprisoned by some, I don't know who that guy was who...
He's briefly mentioned as like a government official who has ESP powers.
Okay, cool.
Like
cool.
A few episodes ago.
All right. And he says he's going to be kept alive for research or he's going to be executed.
Yep.
And then the businessman says to, I guess, his one ally and his son are there as that's happening. And he's like, I never liked you, guy. And then he talks to his son and is like, I just wanted to see my wife again, but I was too proud or something. And then this, the son says,
I know.
Well, I see her from time to time.
Yeah.
And I can arrange, he's basically going to arrange her going to see him in prison because she's into that, I guess.
I think, you know, you love someone and they fuck up and you leave because you can. And sometimes people still love if the reason they left isn't the worst reason.
Right, right. Didn't he try to take over the world?
Absolutely. But she doesn't know that yet.
That's true.
Earlier in the episode, he's like, yeah, she called me and she wanted to know how you're doing, see how you're doing. But now she knows that you're a fucking monster. Oh, you gotta own up to mom. She's gonna yell at you for being stupid.
Fantastic. She's gonna be like, why were you so violent?
I saw this coming when you didn't like the cat.
And that as he's being taken away, businessman is like, people need other people, which I'm guessing he quoted from Mob.
In an earlier, pre-fight, the earlier fight.
In my
notes.
And then
the hand moment. That was the hand moment where that's like Mob's like, you need other people. And he reaches his hand and instead gets punched in the face.
Oh.
So he replays it in his mind and he goes, oh, I should have shaped his hand because that's what love is.
Yeah. There's a lot of what if like flashbacks then, huh? That's cool. Okay, in my notes, this is where I wrote, what is the green thing? And then I wrote, Maud is his name of the schoolboy. I get it now.
At the end, the mystery is solved.
Yeah. And then, so then they're into that office at the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called like Spirits and Junk or something like that.
It's called Spirits and Such Consultation.
Yeah, Spirits and Such Consultation.
Michael, take better notes.
Yeah.
You have one job. Take notes.
He's moderating.
Yeah, Melanie, I'm moderating.
Hey,
there's only one rule on Dessert Before Breakfast, and that is you never defend Mike. Not in front of me.
Is Emily going to suddenly become our marriage counselor?
Okay, so my other talent besides face and hand jokes are I will listen to your feelings.
No, I'm kidding. Mike, you're great.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're great too, Melanie. Yes.
Yeah, we're just kidding.
It is only playful abuse. It isn't real life abuse.
Hey, kids, we're only teasing each other. Don't even worry about it, okay?
Yeah. my love language is roasting, so I get it.
Okay, great. We're the office. We're in Spirits and Such Consultation.
Yep.
The guy who was BM's ally.
Umbrella guy.
Yes.
For me, he's an umbrella guy.
Okay. Yeah. I put Meek Man.
That counts. He's Meek.
Yeah.
He was a shut-in because he thought his powers would kill people. And so he's like, I'm just going to take myself out of the equation.
Oh, what was his powers?
Basically the same thing as everybody else. Like, he's just super strong. He could throw you against the wall. He went to, like, almost killed his mom.
Only walls, though.
You know, like, she spooked him and he's like, huh. And he threw her, like, he just like,
whoa. Oh, jeez.
He like, almost killed his mom. They briefly mentioned, like, so brief. And he's like, yeah. So, like, yeah, because there's a moment he fights Mob. And Mob's like, how about we don't fight? And he's like, we should fight. And then Mob absorbs his power. He's like, oh, you're sad. And then sends his power back to him. And he's like, oh, you're also sad. So they're sad together. And they cry. Aww. And they talk about their feelings. And they're like, yeah, I can't control my power sometimes. And Mob's like, you shouldn't let this asshole manipulate you.
Right, right.
Which is rich because the first, like, season is Mob getting manipulated by other people.
It's like, you're one to talk. They cut his hair.
Yeah, because Japanese, I hear, is all about the very specific aesthetic to fit in.
Right, right, right. But also, like, cutting your hair is like...
Oh, good point!
Like a metaphor for change and growth. So, yeah.
The noggin part two.
No, noggin part two. In my notes for the rest of this, all I have is, what is the business of these three guys? I'm so confused. And then, Spirits and Such Consultation. I'm not too sure what it is that they do.
He's a fake psychic.
He's a fake psychic?
Yeah, so Regent's a fake psychic. He loses his job, and then he decides, he sees like the back of a magazine where there's like crystals, and someone's like, if you have a citrine, it'll make you find love, something like that. So he's like, oh, I can also say bullshit. And so he starts a psychic business just out of nowhere. And he's terrible at it, but he finds Mob, and Mob is the business, right? So like anytime he gets a client, he calls Mob and he's like, hey, Mob, I actually need you to fight this. And he's like, Mob would be like, I really wish you would you give me more lead up time. I'm on my way to home. And he's like, I don't care. Show the fuck up. So that's been the relationship for the first little while.
So that's like his part-time job.
Yeah, Ma's part-time job is exorcism. However, there's something Regan can do. So sometimes people will come in, they're like, oh, my shoulder really hurts. And he'll be like, oh, no problem. And he like throws salt on them, but then gives them the best massage of their life. And they're like, oh, I'm so light now. And he's like, yes, that was me exercising it. I will like $50 million now. So like that's kind of the joke too, where he's like good at stuff, but he hides it, pretends it's something else.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's actually super smart though.
Yeah.
Because it's like he could just be a masseuse, but then he wouldn't be able to charge as much.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. It's a good business practice. I like that.
Yeah. So anytime he actually faces a real thing.
I think we've got a new business idea right now. Let's do it. Let's steal it from anime. Yes. Why not?
Well, cool. I'm done with my notes. Does anyone else have notes?
I really like the sound effects. I don't love the soundtrack. I love the sound effects because you can hear that now. Like in this episode, they do it where they kind of put the sound effect without showing you the visual cue, but you're so conditioned. You're like, oh, he's now more angry or more upset or more whatever, or it hurts him or it triggers him in some way. And so they create a really interesting audio sort of library for you as well, like a language that you don't get until you've watched enough that you become sort of fluent.
Right.
So like, yeah, the very beginning, first episode, he falls on his face or some shit and it goes, Mob! Boop, boop, and it adds like 2 points. And then when he accumulates 100, he goes batshit, fight stuff or cries fighting.
But he goes, like that happens several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they show him go through different feelings. So we experience rage at one point. We experience grief at one point.
Okay. Yeah. I think so. Emily, what does this show mean to you, really?
I don't know. Obviously, as I talk about it, it's clear that I care about the show.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to say. I also really like One Punch Man. So I think the person who's named One, his content is always good to me. I like the idea that it is so wholesome. Like it could go quite easily into a violent world or a world that's irredeemable. Also, one thing that I discovered about myself is my favorite thing in shows is when characters grow. Because there's so many theater shows, so many anime shows, so many TV shows where like it's almost the Big Lebowski. Nothing changes anybody. Like they could go through dramatic life experiences and it's existential, and instead of growing they're just stagnant. And so for me, watching Mob go from this like really sad individual who has no expression and his brother's afraid of him and he sort of doesn't know how to handle feelings and he lets himself get manipulated all the time, and slowly grows to be an individual who starts to speak his mind, who starts to communicate, who understands that bonds are what make you you. And his brother eventually goes through an arc where he gets his own powers, even though he didn't have any powers. And he realized, and his brother realizes it's not that he was jealous of Mob's powers. He was jealous of Mob's capacity to go all in and compete, like devote himself to betterment. Because at one point, Mob gets the opportunity to join the psychic club or the body improvement club. And we all think he's going to choose like the telekinesis club because they're like, oh, yeah, of course, choose the club that you're good at. And he's like, nope, body improvement club because I'm failing in these aspects and you guys and I will go together and we'll fix this. Like, and he sucks at it. Like he shows him sucking. And, you know, maybe that's why I resonate with it because his running is awful. But then he sticks with it.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's a big part for me is watching people just be better and grow and learn and change and have things that change them permanently instead of being like, oh, yeah, that's the character I was yesterday. It's the character I'll be tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The characters that change too much just isn't like really receptive to like traditional TV, you know, like The Simpsons or what have you, where it's like, mm-hmm. no, the characters need to be the same so that when you tune in, you're like, oh, cool, I know these characters. Like,
yeah.
So it's cool to see a show that's just like, no, these characters are changing over time and you can see them changing over time.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
That's really great.
And again, you know, the visuals are fun. Obviously, you saw the second season, so the animation's better, but they try really hard to keep the aesthetic, which is the One Punch Man aesthetic you see. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just nice to see people. And it's like not like a romance anime where like, Liz, love, it's so soft in the inside. It's like really just like families getting better and like friends and sort of like platonic, non, I'm 13, I'm going to make out with somebody. Which, you know, still has its place in the world. Not shitting on romance.
Yeah, it still has its place, but it's cool to have different options.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, he's just a kid who's like, could be all powerful, but he's just a background character in his own life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
No worries. I'm just seeing if I have any notes. I don't have any notes.
Don't need them.
Don't need them.
Notes are overrated.
I mean, I have notes, but I already talked about them.
Michael, you know that by saying that you're essentially spitting in my face, right?
Oh, shit. No.
You want to go? You be real cheeky tonight, you know?
We're going to go for a dolly wobble. You want to step? Oh, yeah. Hey, let's go for a rip and I'll rip your heart out. Let's step.
Actually, you know what? One of my favorite things to do is to be like, huh? You want to go? You want to go out for dinner and talk this out like adults? Huh? Do ya? I like that. I would love to.
Can I steal that?
Yeah, of course. Excellent. I want more people to do that. Aggressively ask me out for dinner. Anytime.
I'm also not confrontational, so I would probably be like, you want to...
Maybe chat?
And I would leave the room. That would have that. Like, I have a feeling, and I'm going to go have a bath about it. And just have my little tequila and cry. And that's how I handle feelings. So maybe that's why I like Mob Psycho, because it's a more appropriate way to handle your feelings.
Yes, yeah. That's cool. I love that. Betterment, man.
Yeah, betterment. It's time to betterment our review scores.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, God. This is the part I'm nervous about.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I don't know. It feels like I share something and it's vulnerable, and then what you ever feel back is like a reflection on my tastes and talents.
Oh, no. Why do you have to put so much importance
on
this?
That's not the way that this goes.
I know.
That's not what this is.
But I'm socially awkward, and now you are awkward today.
Yeah.
I project that shit onto other people. That's why I leave and have baths instead. You know what I mean? Like, it's a blight.
I'm going to give it 6 hand gestures that our listeners can't see out of 10.
I love how big and gestural you were for that moment.
Mike, by the way, has been like just a forehead and maybe some eyes the entire episode and then lean forward to do hand gestures.
Yeah. I think this is very much a victim of it's like this happened occasionally on our show. We get to the point where it's like it's hard to squint and see what the anime is from the episode we saw because it was so hard to parse what was happening.
Yeah, fair.
You know what I mean? Like some shows we can parse and we could be like, oh, actually, I got a complete idea of what the show is, or I at least get to enjoy myself for the ride, even though I don't know what I'm going on. I didn't really enjoy myself for this ride that much.
Fair enough.
And I enjoyed sort of your breakdown of things. But for me, I would give it a 6. Melanie?
I would give it 7 out of 10 guys just being like, how about no? Because, I did enjoy this ride. I loved how wacky and zany and, like, the fight was awesome. There was a broccoli that showed up for no reason. I was confused a lot, but I thought it was fun.
There was a reason, and they were very clear about what that reason was, Melanie.
Yeah, you know what? They were clear at different times, though, because they were like, hey, there's a broccoli. And then some lady's like, that's probably Mob that did that. And then afterwards, like, 5 minutes later, he's like, oh no, my broccoli seeds from my uniform. Oops.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
Why were the broccoli seeds in his uniform in the first place? I didn't know that. We needed...
I know.
We needed context for that. And thank you so much, Emily, for being here and explaining it to me.
Yeah.
That's my job. I think that's why I'm here.
Yeah. And I had a good time with this. And I really love and appreciate the theme of this, too. Like, it was very blatant throughout the entire thing of, like, friendship, but also growth. Because I am like you in the sense that I like watching shows about people who choose to be better and who want that betterment and everything. Like, I find it very difficult to watch shows about assholes. So, like, most drama shows nowadays, yeah. It's just like, I'm a bad person. Feel sorry for me. You know, like, it's...
Yeah.
This was wholesome and nice in its own way. Yeah.
Not my favorite episode, to be honest. I mean, I also have all the context, so I would still say, like, an 8. Because I, like, for me, it was really just going through all the characters we've seen before and, like, kind of wrapping that shit up for us. So it's like,
right.
Here's the characters we've seen before, and ha ha ha, look, and they have feelings together. And they're like, ha ha ha. Now, like, no one's left hanging, basically. So it's a nice for us in that way. But there's better episodes, and it's clearly half a fight. Like, you'd miss the whole lead up.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right,
maybe a 7, actually. I'm going to jump down to a 7, because I don't think it deserves quite an 8 as the episode itself. But as the show.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wholesome.
And then finally, the question is if we would go back and watch it. I'm curious. I think I would put myself at a hard maybe, as Daniel Lee would say. Daniel Lee being one of our frequent collaborators.
Yeah. When I say maybe, I mean hard no. I, like, as the person who avoids confrontation, when I say maybe, it means no. Like,
yeah.
I'm really maybe on that. It means, like, fuck it, never look at me again.
Honestly, I think that's just a very Vancouver thing.
That's a very Facebook thing. Like,
yeah, maybe I'll go to your party. No.
Or medium. Like, sounds like, oh, did you like that? Like, I'm medium, which means I never want you to.
Well, if the question is asked to me, I am 100%. First of all, I love One Punch Man. I love One Punch Man. Please delete those other takes. I really appreciated this one too. And, you know, I gave it a 7. So I'm definitely interested to go back and experience this on Crunchyroll.
Couldn't get into One Punch Man.
Why?
I don't know. I just was like, someone was like, this was at the time when I decided that I didn't like anime, which I've basically gone back on a little bit. But someone's like, hey, if you don't like anime, you might like One Punch Man. And I watch it, and I'm like, this is like anime. Like, it's really just...
No, there's a range of anime. And that's the thing. For people who are seasoned like me, I can watch weird shit like Sarah Zanmai and get through it and be like, sure. But I would never recommend that to you guys. Like, I don't know if anybody's quite ready for, like, pulling anal beads at it, like, monsters. Like, no one's quite ready for that. And that's a real thing that happens. So don't...
Wait, what?
This is...
Yeah, I can handle that shit because I've seen a lot of shit. But, like,
oh my God.
I would give you, like, Ouran High School, you know, something that's kiddish and there's, like, some sort of weird gender, but haha, just kidding, fluid. Like, you can't, that's, like, as crazy as that one gets. But, like, I would say Mob Psycho and One Punch Man are, like, the further end of weird.
Yeah.
I would say One Punch maybe less. I only watched the first season. I hated the second season. They switched animation studios and I cried. Because the first season I really enjoyed.
Yeah, same. I haven't seen second season.
Don't.
Okay. I'm kind of interested in these anal beads inside of monsters, though.
So that's an anime.
To tell me more about it.
It's kappas. It involves kappas and children and sexual desire or desires. It just says desires, but we kind of, you know, it's desires, am I right, ladies? So they talk about that kappas can steal your desire, and desire lives kind of up your butt. And so these guys get, like, sexually deviant, and then they turn into monsters about the thing they're deviant with. And these three children get eaten by the prince of Kappa, who shits them out, and they turn into And it's like a graphic shit, right? It's not just like, here's a little beep. It's like, blah, 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 blah. And then they turn into Kappas themselves, but they're color coordinated, so you know who's who. And then they have to do this like song and dance where they're like, I can't do the song and dance, but they have to song and dance. And then it's like through the power of friendship, but not the same as Mom Psycho. Power of friendship. They like hold hands, do this little dance. And then they collectively go into the ass of the individual who is sexually deviant, and they have to grab desire and pull it out of his asshole to revert him back into the sexual deviant person who gets arrested. And and it's like these Kappa people versus the otters, who are all about like empty love. It's hard for me to answer that one because like it's they're evil, but they're otters. And I don't know if that's also a joke because they're both like, they kind of are two gay men who are not quite bears, but are not like feminine. So I kind of think that's like they're otters, but that's me projecting my Western experience of like queer language onto these people. But it's fucking, and it gets weirder and weirder because at first it's like fun songs, but what the fuck? And yeah. Then they just go full what the fuck by the end of it. And
this is so wild.
And this is on Crunchyroll. What was this show called again?
It's Sarah Zanmai. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it potentially correctly. Let me just ask Crunchyroll real quick so I'm not shooting my desire out of my ass.
This is so wild.
See, this is what I'm saying. So like for me, Mob Psycho is like real chill.
Sarah. Pretty normal.
Okay, it is.
Well, what is normal, you know? Like
Sarazanmai. Sarah Zanmai. And it says, the setting is Asakusa. One day, second years in middle school, Kazuki, Toi, and Enta meet Kepi, a mysterious Kappa-like creature who steals their Shirikodama and transforms them into Kappas. To return to your original forms, he tells them, you must fight the zombies and take the Shirikodama from them. Can the boys connect with each other and steal the zombies' anal bead? This is the story. Three boys who can't connect with someone important to them, learning about what it truly means to do so.
Wild.
I mean, it sounds like
a nightmare.
Heartwarming, like without the context that you gave us prior.
Yeah, it's super cute. It sounds super cute. It sounds super cute. It is in its own right. But I.
But at the end of the day, they're just pulling anal beads out of monsters.
Yeah. 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 So welcome to the shit I've consumed as an individual.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, I mean, like, thank you, anime expert and Emily.
No problem. It was a good laugh.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. It was very nice to meet you, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it was nice to meet you. We, like, fucking blew past that. I was realizing while I was getting my water break, I was like, I don't think we actually ever said, like, hi, yeah, my name's Emily.
I don't just think like, we've met at all. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I actually did double check your name down there to be like, it is Melanie.
It is Melanie.
And then I was like, yeah, that's it. Okay, I'm not stupid. I remember hearing this name. Because I have bad name issues where, like, I will talk to someone and be like, hey, you. And then the next, like, go home and someone's like, oh, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I was talking to Mel right now. We were having a great time. But, like, I won't know your name in the moment. I'll only know it later. Or, like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with Mel. But then the minute we're in person, I was like, Frank?
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.
I'm fine. That didn't catch me off guard.
Well.